First Kings chapter 19. Let's look at verses 19 through 21. 19 through 21. So he departed thence and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for all that's been done in your house today. What a glorious time we've had in Sunday school and singing and praying and just seeing one another. We ask that, Father God, you would just bless us now with a word from you. Not a word from a man, but a word from above, a message from heaven, a message that we can that apply to our lives, a message that will leave here with us. Father, while we thank you for everybody that's here, Father God, we ask that you just give them ears to hear and a heart to understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
He left the oxen and titled his message, "Leaving Things to Serve God." Leaving things to serve God. Here we find Elijah at work. He was a plowman. He was a hard-working man. He was a wealthy man. He was powerfully moved by the Spirit of God. Now, I think about that all the time, and I talk to people and big shots and big-time folks, and wonder what would have to happen for them to be moved to leave what they're doing to serve God. Now, it's not the standard. It's not normal. We're not saying that everybody this wealthy ought to leave their occupation to serve God. But here we have a situation where here's this great man of God. And again, he was trained. He wasn't just someone that was out plowing the fields. This man had most likely been to the school of the prophets and had learned. And Elijah was moved by God to cast his mantle on him. So we read the text. It says, he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. 12 yoke of oxen in those days would have been 24 ox. Most likely had a big field. Well, watch what he does when the call comes. And I asked this question this morning. Sometimes my Sunday school lesson and the sermon, they sort of run together, questions and different things. But what do you think about? What do you think about when somebody says, "I'm a Christian"? If you meet somebody and they say, I'm a Christian, what do you think about? I don't hear that often anymore. And like I said earlier, you know, folks are real bold about their sports team. And like I said, I had the LGBT going on downtown. And people are bold about, you know, declaring who they are, their sports team, or, you know, whether politics, they, you know, instantly they'll let you know how they feel about either party, okay? But when you start talking about salvation, and you start talking about Christianity and your faith, guess what? Crickets. When I say crickets, y'all know what I mean? Silence. But when somebody say they're a Christian, what do you mean you think about? If I meet a woman, she says, "I'm a Christian," you know what I first start thinking about? Y'all know me, I spiritualize it. I start thinking about Mary and Martha, Rahab, and I meet a man and say, "I'm a Christian," I start thinking about Paul, John, Luke, Caleb, Joshua, all that stuff comes to mind. It comes to mind. But with all those folks, it had an impact on them. Christianity had a impact on him. The call of God had an impact on him. Has anything changed? Has anything changed? No. No. Church has gotten quieter and quieter. We've become more accepting. And you know, people, you know, church needs to be more accepting. Church needs to be more accepting. And I understand the theology behind that. Okay? But we know God's word hasn't changed. Amen. God's word hasn't become more accepting.
Amen.
God's word hasn't become more accepting. So when we look at Elijah, and it says, he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. What's happening here? Just in this verse of scripture, he left the oxen because the call of God came with a sense of urgency, came with a sense of joy. For him to run after something, it had to be something that he loved and that he looked forward to. The Bible says he ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother." What's he doing here? You understand what he's getting ready to do? He's getting ready to have a celebration. He's going to celebrate the fact that he was called by God to serve God in a prophetic office. Okay? He was a prophet. So let's not mix this. We're not talking about our call as a Christian. It should be something that we love and something that we ought to celebrate. All of us in here ought to celebrate the day that God saved them. Should have threw a party. Think about it now. Think about it. Somebody tell you they're saved. Say you get a loved one, cousin. They say, "Uncle Keith, you know what? I got saved." Yes, you know what? You know what now my thinking is after studying this lesson? Well, look, we're going to have a party. We're going to invite all your friends and all your family members, and we're going to have a party. We're going to rent Moffy Park or a big venue like that, and we're going to celebrate the fact that you are now born again and a child of God. How do you think that go over? You would find out right away if this person was serious. Because you tell me I'm saved, man. I'm having you a saved party. We have parties for everything. Amen. I mean, folks having parties for everything. Okay? Uh-huh. Folks, listen, you think it up, they have a party for. Now, the next time someone in here tell me they getting saved, If Ray come in here 2 weeks from now, a week from now, say, "You know what? Give my life to the Lord. I'm asking the Lord to come into my heart. I've asked the Lord to come into my heart. He's coming to my heart. And I am a new man. Old things have passed away. All things become new." You know what we're going to do? I'm going to tell you right now, Rita, we're going to have a party. I'm telling you right now, we're getting ready to have a party. Okay, get the chicken. We're gonna have a celebration, and we're gonna invite all Ray's friends. We're gonna send out invitations, just like y'all do them baby showers. And we're gonna have a party. And we invite all his friends and all his family, and you know, Mary, call all your folks up in Cleveland and all over, and everybody coming down to celebrate the fact that Ray has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Now, as a child of God, has given his life to the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? Well, let me tell you something. That is exactly what Elijah done. That is exactly what Elijah done. He said, "I pray thee, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother." Okay? "And then I will follow thee." See, there were no going back, and his mother and father was like, "Oh, I don't think you should do that." Because most of us, "I don't think you should give your life to the Lord. You'll never find a husband if you give your life to the Lord. You know, you can't go on a missionary journey and all that." No, no, no. He said, "I will follow thee. I want to kiss my mother and my father." And he said unto him, watch this now, "Go back again." How about that? Go back again. Kiss your mother and father. And let everybody know what you're getting ready to do. Okay? "For what have I to do? For what have I done to thee?" Why do you say that? Okay. Look at the humility of Elijah. He says, I didn't call you. God called you. And if God called you, guess what you're going to do? You're going to follow him. That's what the text means. He said, for what have I done to thee? I ain't done nothing. I put my hand on you because God told me to do it. And he says, God has called you. And if any of us in here are saved, God has called us. Amen. God has called us. Amen. God has moved in our hearts. And he touched us and gave us the faith to believe. Now faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's imperative that the word of God be preached. Amen. You can't get saved without the word of God being preached. And then watch what happens to Elijah here. And I'm going to give you some different illustrations. And he returned back from him. And Gideon had his party now. And he took a yoke of oxen. Two of them. What's that mean? Big party. And slew them. And boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. And gave unto the people. And they did eat. They had a celebration. They had a celebration. What were they celebrating? They were celebrating the new birth. They were celebrating the fact that Elijah was being called to the prophetic office. It was a big deal. Okay? Now the word of God said the angels in heaven rejoice over one person gets saved. What's that also saying? The question we had this morning, are there few? Are there few being saved? Shirley asked a question in Sunday school because it was a little part in the text that an unsaved Christian. An unsaved Christian. She's like, what's that? I believe it has some truth in it. A lot of folks say they're Christians, but aren't. That's spooky. Let's keep going. Everybody that God has ever used had to leave something. Can you think of anybody that God ever used in the word of God that didn't have to leave something? Here's Abraham. Y'all know the story. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. Abraham and Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 4. Now most teachers would teach that his whole family had got to a certain spot. The father died and the people stopped. When the father died, the people stopped. The rest of the family stopped and they just said, we've gone far enough. But God came to Abraham. And then in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet. He said to Abram, get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now the key to this whole story here, how old is Abraham at this time? 75. So some of you senior citizens in here, okay? This may be a little word for you. 75-year-old Abram. And Abram means father of what? How many kids did he have at this time? None. Now he's God's not going to ask us to do something we can do on our own. God's going to ask you to do something impossible. Something you believe may be impossible. God's not going to ask you to do something you can do in your own strength. So we do that all day. Oh, I can do that. No, God's going to say, I want you to do something impossible for you to do on your own. Why? So when you're done and you complete, you won't do what? See, we got churches full of folks that's doing their own thing. Okay? God's going to ask the church to do something impossible. And you know what that is? Sometimes it's just preaching the word. How about that? Watch this. Now, he promises Abraham seven blessings that he's going to give him. if he just stay with him. And there's God has promised all of us in here. God's going to bless everyone that follows him. I don't care. You know what? If you sit here and tell me, I'm going through. That's your constant cry. I'm going through. Let me tell you something. You better make sure you in the will of God.
Amen.
Okay? You better make sure your life is lining up with the things of God. You better make sure that God is pleased with you. And I'm not saying that you're perfect, and then none of us perfect, okay? But God has promised those who follow him a blessing. Now, I'm not talking new cars, and I'm not talking houses, and I'm not talking that. I'm just talking about mainly peace.
Amen.
Okay? How about some grace, and how about some mercy? How about some spiritual joy, not the joy of this world? See, we get caught up. You got to be careful. I was talking to somebody just earlier today. You know, this world is going to keep bombarding you that if you don't have the stuff that the world has, there's no way you can be in God's favor. You got to have stuff, okay? He promises Abraham this. See if you find stuff in it. You're going to find stuff in it, okay? He said, I will make thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75-year-old man. And God is saying, I'm going to make a great nation out of your DNA. Basically, he's saying, though when he said the whole earth will be blessed by you, he was saying that this Messiah is going to come out of your lineage. What did Abraham do? See, when God calls a man, God calls a woman, listen, there ain't no disobedience. There ain't no struggle. There ain't no battle. You don't see that. This is why, you know, if you answer the call, if God calls you and you start shucking and jiving and fighting and, No. When God called Abraham, let the scriptures explain what Abraham did. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, watch this now, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. It didn't even matter. He was doing what God called him to do, and he was like, listen, God, if you call me to do it, all I got to do is obey. All I need to do is obey. Okay? And you know what? He obeyed. And you know what Abraham's name is? The father of what? Father of many. Also the father of faith. The father of faith. He had no questions, no concerns, no worries, no looking back, nothing. He just went on the promises of God. And you know what? And we sing it. But if God was to ask any choir member standing on the promises of Christ, I can't stand on. Okay, do something ridiculous for God. You know what we do? Start calling folks. God, you know, girl, God has asked me to do something ridiculous. God has asked me to do something only God could do. And then we start going back and forth. Girl, you better pray about that. You better pray about that. I don't know about that. You know what? You hear that so much. The next thing you know, well, I'm praying about it. You've been praying about it for 10 years. Some folks been praying about stuff for 10 years. Okay? And see, sometimes God don't want us praying about stuff for 10 years. See, when Joshua had an issue and they had sin in the camp and Achan and his family was tearing it up. And you know what Joshua wanted to do? I'm praying about it, God. And he went to God, and the thing was getting bigger and bigger. And you know, I'm praying about it, God. And God finally said, you know what, Joshua? This ain't time for prayer. See? This time for action. And some of us in here right today, we just praying about stuff. I'm going to pray about it. Well, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. And somebody needs you to hit you with an elbow. You need to start praying about it and do something. See, when Peter stepped out of that boat, he didn't sit there and pray all. He would have, they'd have still been out on the lake if it had been some of us. God ain't asking us to pray about everything. He say, okay, if what God asked you to do, take the word of God, line it up with what God has asked you to do, and do it. And do it. I mean, you know, when God parted the Red Sea, there were Israelites, most likely, that questioned Moses all the way to the time the Red Sea parted. Okay? They struggled with that thing. They didn't have a problem with bondage. They didn't have a problem with bondage. See what happens to us? We fall in love with being in bondage. And we just settled in bondage. I just want to be, I'm cool. I'm in bondage. Okay? The Bible said when I go through the valley, we go through the valley what? Shadow of death. What's the key word? Going through. And what do? We comfortable in the valley. We get comfortable in the valley. We just say, well, you know, we'll stop here. We hang out for a few years. You can't hang out in the valley. You got to get out of the valley. How do I get out of the valley, Pastor? God, give me strength to get out of the valley. See, God answered prayer. If you don't think God answered prayer, then ain't no use praying, because the double-minded man, unstable in his all his ways. So we sit here and say, well, you know, have you really prayed? Have you really prayed? I'm in that place. These Israelites was in that place. You know what the word of God said? God heard the cries of the Israelites. God heard the cries of the Israelites. How long was they in bondage? Long time. Long time. Let me read the scriptures. I talk too much. I just rather read scriptures. Here's the Israelites being delivered from bondage. And you know their bondage represents sin. Sin. Why were they in bondage? They were disobedient. They were disobedient. How did they get out of bondage? Cries went up to the Lord. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Exodus 12 and 40. 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the same self day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. They went out from the land of Egypt. They went out from the land of Egypt. Now watch this now. Let me talk about Elijah. There's a celebration. Okay. Let me tell y'all something. I can't be the only one in here excited every Sunday.
Amen.
You know, every Wednesday, I'm excited because I know where I came from.
Amen.
I know what I've been delivered from. I've been delivered from, and I know what I still struggle with. And God give me strength to struggle. I thank God for strength to struggle. How many ever thank God for strength to struggle with sin?
Amen.
Seriously. What would happen if you lost your strength to struggle? Think about a wrestling match. You're in a wrestling match, and you going toe-to-toe with this opponent. But if he overpowers you, what happens? You get pinned. And you know what? Let me tell you something. And you hear me say it all the time. Listen, some of us are going to struggle all the way to the gates of heaven. And you know what you need to pray for? God, give me strength to struggle all the way to glory.
Amen.
See, that's what the text was this morning in Sunday school. Let us strive to enter in. And we just want it easy. And Satan wants you to believe it's going to be easy. Why? You got to train for this battle. No word, no strength. Watch this now. Verse 42 of this Exodus 12. Interesting. It is the night that they left. The night that they overcame Egypt. The night that they left Egypt to the promised land. Watch what it says. Because this is a picture of the fact when we've been delivered from sin, saved, redeemed, it's to be observed. Y'all think I was playing with this? Somebody tell me they get saved? Somebody tell me they saved? That whole baptismal service and all that, that's designed to be a celebration.
Amen.
Okay? That's designed to be a celebration. Come, watch me go under, and going under represents... Going under represents me being cleansed and coming up a new person. Something different. Something different. And we just baptized so many devils.
Come on
now. They go in dry, they come up wet. Nothing happened. Because if nothing happened before, nothing gonna happen while you're in the water. Don't believe them, folks. Don't believe them, folks. Okay, y'all, I know some of y'all in here, oh, the Baptist church, I'm going to go to a church where there's excitement at. There's excitement, everybody dancing, and the Holy Ghost is present, and everybody speaking in tongues and running all around. Listen, you can go there all you want. Let me tell you something, ain't nothing happening.
Amen.
Okay? And you get baptized, if you're not saved before you get in that water. Okay? If you're not saved before you get in the water, you're not going to be saved coming out.
Amen.
I don't care how many languages you speak.
Amen.
Okay? People say, well, you know, I got the Holy Ghost when I was in the water. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If you didn't have it before you went in, you're not going to have it coming out.
Amen.
Okay? So it says, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. You know what we come to church for? I thought about this. I think about this stuff. You know what we come to church for on Sunday? It's a celebration. It's to celebrate the fact that we are children of God. That we've been saved, that we've been redeemed, that we've been delivered, and we come to church Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. We come to Sunday school. It's a celebration. It's to be observed.
Yeah, exactly.
And when your loved ones see you coming to church and driving to church and struggling to get to church and struggling to get your stockings on, some of us struggle to get our jeans on. We do. I see people come out of church. I'm like, where's you at? Church. Cindy and I went to a church. Had my suits on. Cindy had her little church dress on. And the lady said, Where y'all think y'all at? She did. They said, where you think y'all at? We wearing suits and stuff? All right, that's another story. I know. See Claire over there picking. They was all dooted up for Frankie Beverly in May, but they're not gonna be all dooted up for the Lord. Okay.
Amen.
They still recovering. Listen, folks. Every Sunday believers gather in churches to celebrate. Okay? Celebrate. God calling us out of the slavery of sin. How many were slaves of sin?
Amen.
How many of us were slaves of sin? Listen, folks, we didn't question nothing. Okay? Listen, now we come to church to celebrate what? Our eternal redemption. We come to celebrate the fact that we've been redeemed. We come to celebrate the fact that we've been delivered. And it ought to be a glorious time. Okay? It ought to be a glorious time. And it's not just the preacher. We need a preacher. You need to be fired up. You know, the preacher ain't an entertainer. He's not the celebrity. The word of God is, if there's a celebrity in this church, it's the word of God.
Amen.
Okay? It's the word of God. Remember this story. You guys remember this story. It's blind Bartimaeus. Watch what happens when he gets delivered. Watch what happens when God touches this man's life. And this has got to happen to you if you tell me, I'm a Christian. I'm looking for it. I'm a Christian. Okay. I need to see something. You tell me you play in the NFL, I need to see something, okay? What's your jersey number? Who you play for? Something. People say, I'm a Christian, and there's no evidence of it. Guess what you're going to call him? Fraud. I'm a Christian. And then they came to Jericho, and he went into Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway side begging. Begging. Okay? Begging for what? Begging for deliverance. Begging for the Messiah to come and deliver him and to give him his sight back. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Mark 10, 46 and 47. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. How about that? And say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why did he say that? Because he knew the Messiah had to come out of the lineage of David. And he said, Son of David. And he knew David was going to be full of mercy. The Messiah that was coming was full of mercy. The fake ones ain't full of mercy. See, the fake church ain't full of mercy. See, they know mercy is all about getting that money. See, they know mercy and taking folks money. Begging and getting, it don't matter. You know, tied off your welfare check, tied off your unemployment check, you know, tied. There's no mercy in that. There's no love in that. This David, son of David, came with mercy. Watch this now. He needed mercy. How many in here need mercy?
Amen.
How many here receive God's mercy? You know, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Okay? As the celebration goes on, and Jesus stood still. How about that? He stood still. I ain't heard this. I haven't heard this. And he commanded him to come to him. And they called a blind man, saying, be of good comfort, rise, and he calleth thee. Now watch this now. Now, you can't come to Jesus with the weight of the world on you. You can't come to Jesus with all your mess. I mean, people say, if you can bring all your mess to Jesus. No, you can't. Okay? But when you come to Jesus, you got to get rid of some stuff. Okay? Some stuff we hold on to way too long. Way too long. And here's this man. When Jesus called him, watch this now. He cast away his garment. And that was the outer garment. That was to protect him. That was to protect him from the rain because he was a beggar. He couldn't, when it started raining and dust storms come, he couldn't go high, couldn't hide anywhere because he was blind. Somebody had to come and guide him away. So he put the blanket on him to protect him. But guess what? When Jesus called him, guess what he didn't need no more? He didn't need that blanket. He didn't need that blankie, as some people say. He didn't need that blanket. The Bible says he cast away his garment. Cast away me. Get away as far as I can get away from me. That word cast me, get it away from me. Take some kids fishing and they gonna put the heaviest weight on the pole. Okay? Take the boys fishing and if they hold on to the button, the weight gonna snap off and it's gonna go really far. And they gonna look at their pole and the string ain't going nowhere. And the weight is like 60 feet out into the lake. But that's fine. You get my understanding of casting. See, some stuff we need to get away from us.
Amen.
Okay? See, some stuff we need to get away from us. And he cast it away. Why did he cast it away? Joy. Eagerness. I'm getting to the Lord. He's heard my prayer. The Bible says in Mark's version, that he followed the Lord. I like that. But in Luke's version of this, Dr. Luke in Luke 18:43, he said after he received his sight, watch what happened. He followed him, glorifying God. I like that. Okay? After he received his sight, after he was delivered, after he was redeemed and saved, he followed the Lord, glorifying him, and all the people saw it. And gave praise unto God. How about that?
Amen.
They saw it. The people saw it. See, you can see faith. People say, well, you know, yes, you can. When Jesus dropped them, when they dropped them, four men dropped that man through the roof. Okay? Laid him at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says, saw their faith. He saw their faith. And he saw their faith. What is faith? Action. Doing something. And it's usually doing something for the Lord. Okay? That's why the devil wants your faith so bad. He wants your faith so bad. Because the word of God says, without faith, you can't be a Christian. Without faith, you can't be a Christian. How about Paul? Y'all think I could get through a whole sermon without talking about Paul? It's impossible. I don't know how folks do it. But here's Paul. Paul had some stuff. When Paul came to the Lord, he was so much like us. Self-righteous. He had it all together. He had it all together. And anybody who even confronted Paul about anything other than what Paul believed, okay? Paul was locking folks up. Paul was persecuting Christians. Paul was doing all this crazy stuff because it was Paul's way or no way. You know, we hear people say, it was my way or the highway. It was Paul's way or you was going to jail. And what did Paul have to lose? What did Paul have to leave behind when he came to the Lord? How about that? His religion. And I said it this morning in Sunday school. We're not religious folks. And if you run around here and, oh, I'm a religious person, and if you're on your job and they say, well, go talk to Mary over there. She's religious. Don't let them put that label on you.
Amen.
You're not religious.
Amen.
You know, they come to, well, you know, hey, go talk to Brother Matthew. He's a man of God. He is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Christianity is about relationship. It's not about religion. And Paul had to leave his religion behind. He had to leave behind. And some of us may have to. But look at Paul in Philippians chapter 3. What a wonderful verse. What a bunch of wonderful verses. Because some of us, we got our stuff. We got our stuff. Paul says this. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. How about that? Paul said, I'm the most, not only was he chief sinner, Paul said, I was the most fleshiest man that ever lived. Okay? I had more reason to trust in this flesh than any of you. Okay? He said, I had superior flesh. I had the best flesh that the devil ever used. Okay? Watch this now. He said, he started explaining his flesh. He started explaining his flesh. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day, which was mandatory for a Jew, of the stock of Israel. Now, see, the stock of Israel means the best. The very best, okay? Of the tribe of Benjamin. How about that? How about that? The most favored son of that great patriarch. He wasn't done. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. What he saying? Cream of the crop. Both my parents were Hebrews and my grandparents were Hebrews. And as far as I can go back, we were Hebrews. There were no tainted blood in my genealogy. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee. Okay, meaning blameless. The world, no other Pharisee could come and find any fault with me. I was as close to perfect as a man could be. That's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul's saying. How about that? He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Okay? I was so zealous about the fact that the God of Judaism was the only God and that I would persecute, kill anybody that thought anything different. Okay? I could go someplace with that, but I'm not. Persecuting the church. Touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Now here's the good part. Paul had it all together. You know what he said? But what things were gained to me, how about this? Those I counted loss for Christ. I counted loss for Christ. See, some things we have to let go. If we're going to follow the Lord, we got to let go. Okay? We got to let go. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Christ Jesus wasn't always his Lord. Paul had the same revelation that the thief on the cross had. Jesus Christ my Lord. Watch this now. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. All things. Some folks even say he lost his family. Lost his wife. Okay? And what he says, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You think this ain't a battle? You think you ain't going to strive? If you look at Paul, you look at the life of everyone that God used, there was some striving. We can go into Elijah's whole story. It was a battle. See, we get saved and we think everything's supposed to be wonderful. And this is why we tuck our tail and run and we quit and we hide and we just give up, because we get fed a bunch of junk. Uh-huh. We get fed a bunch of junk. Stay out in the world. Just stay unsaved. But when you come to the Lord, it might get rocky. It might get rocky. It might get a little rough. You're going to get tested. They tested Jesus. You following a Lord. You saying, my Lord is Jesus Christ. But the word of God said he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we don't want no sorrow. We don't want no grief. In the reality, we don't want no Jesus. We're looking back. And Paul said, let it go. Paul said, let it go. Let it go. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth toward those things which are what? Before. How many things he said he'd do? Some of us doing so much. I get emails all the time. I send them to some of y'all. They get on phone conference, get on this and get on that. All the preachers in town upset because they're getting ready to legalize marijuana in Youngstown. Why do you do this? It's been legal. Don't call me. I ain't got time for that. Y'all voted for them guys. Y'all voted for Ryan and all them guys. They're going to legalize it because they're going to get some money. Uh-huh. They're getting ready to legalize marijuana. What's new under the sun? Uh-huh. Okay. Listen, yeah. You still can't get a job when you test dirty. So you're still going to jail. Well, you know, the reason why we going to legalize marijuana, because black people are going to jail four times as much as whites. Well, they still going to go to jail because they ain't got no job. If you ain't got no job, you're going to get some money. So it don't even matter. So they legalize it because they're going to make money off of it, just like they legalize alcohol. And what's the Satan's plan behind all that? Let me tell y'all something. Okay? See, people say, well, the church ain't growing. What's the church need to grow? Don't need to grow anymore. It's not going to grow. See, people say, is it going to get any better? No, it's not going to get any better. Know why? See, there was a time when folks had a problem, they go to the Lord. When folks had a problem, they get on their knees and they go to the church. See, now when they got a problem, what they do? They light up a bud, pick up a six pack, go to Speedway, sit in the parking lot, watch. You know, everybody coming out of there with 12s and 24 packs. They ain't going to church. They're going to the fentanyl and heroin. They're taking everything. They go. There was a time they come to church. Now you got a detox center. They going to detox center. And you can't go to detox center and talk about Jesus. I can't go to detox center. I call them. You didn't think I don't. I call them. I used to call the school. I call the school. Can I come on in and talk to your kids? You can't come as a preacher. And they were wondering what's wrong. You know? Marvin Gaye said, what's going on? We don't act like we don't know. Church folk, we know what's going on. You took the Lord out. Now they call you up. How are you going? We got to. You know, listen, y'all ain't changing this. They getting ready to legalize marijuana. And guess what? You can't smoke and work nowhere. Where you going to make some money at? You can't smoke and be a welder. You can't smoke and drive a FedEx truck or UPS or Amazon truck. You can't. Well, I like to smoke. I talk to the young brothers all the time. I like to smoke. Well, you going to like to be broke. Because you can't get a job. They're testing you for everywhere.
That's right.
Amen. And we live in a transportation world. I can't get a job. Well, you ain't going to get a job smoking. And you think the devil don't know that? You think the government don't need brothers that go to jail? Them folks running in prisons make a lot of money. Believe me, I know. I've been doing it a long time. I'm appalled sometimes at how much money they pay me to do what I do. Because they don't let me do nothing. We just want you to come here and somebody die, tell them that their people died. Well, what have you left? See, sometimes you might have to leave some legitimate stuff. Remember the story. I'm going to give you last story. I'll be done. We have a meeting. Here's the woman at the well. See, it's not in the well. See, it wasn't in the well. What she needed wasn't in the well, okay? And see, what the world need ain't in the well. You ain't going to find it in the water. You ain't going to find it in the government. You're not going to find it in the White House. You're not going to find it in you ain't going to find it.
Amen.
Okay? See, we looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, here's this woman coming to the Lord. She coming to the Lord. And she got issues. She got stuff going on in her world. Like all of us. And the Bible says in John 4:27, they come upon, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou to this woman? Now Jesus already told her. All her business. Okay? Everything about her. Every man she just slept with, who she's sleeping with now, and all that. And then he told her, I'm the water of life. She received it. She received it. And you know what she did? Verse 28. I didn't cover it all. But verse 28, watch this now. Read the story yourself. The woman then left her water pot. She left her water pot at the well and went her way into the city and say unto the men. How about that? She didn't go on. It didn't say she went and talked to the women. The Bible says she went and talked to the men. Okay? And told them, come see a man. How about that? Come see a man. That's interesting. Okay? Now she had to go to the men she knew. And said, come see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Let me tell you something. She left that water pot. And see, some of us, that's right. Some of us need to leave them water pots. And we get caught up on the wrong stuff. We get caught up on the wrong stuff. But see, sometimes good stuff, legitimate stuff, needs to be left. Okay? Nothing wrong with no water pot. Nothing wrong with going to get water. But sometimes good things, legitimate things, decent things can cause us to lose our focus on the things of God. When we get caught up in too much stuff. And know what the world do? Keep us so busy. Some of y'all so busy. I couldn't even ask any of y'all to do nothing. Some of y'all couldn't ask to do anything because, I got 99 things to do. Oh, I'm going to be picking up sticks at the church. I got 99 things to do. Some of us got too much stuff going on. Every once in a while, you got to take an inventory. See, every once in a while, you got to take an inventory. Even the state, you got a budget. And in budgeting, it ain't always about money. Some of us got stuff going on in our world. Listen, I need to stop doing this. Not because it's bad. What's it all going to mean when you stand before the Lord? How many things do you need to do? Well, Paul left some stuff behind. The woman left some stuff behind. Elijah left his whole family behind. Remember Rahab? What it cost her? Cost her whole business. Think about Mary. Think about Mary. When Mary, when the Lord came to Mary and told her she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, she's going to give birth. Only I got to be careful with the terminology. What did it cost her? Could have cost her marriage. Could have cost her life. Okay? Anybody can think about it. Anybody God ever used that didn't have to leave anything? Remember Peter? John, what were they doing when God called them? The Bible said they were fishers of men. If you keep reading about Peter, he wasn't just a fisher. He had a ship. Peter had his own ship. He left something big. So when God calls you, when you hear his voice, if you answer the call, it's going to cost you something. And if you don't answer, it's going to cost you. How about that?
Amen.
So when we look at the Sunday school lesson and you combine it with what we're talking about today, that word strive jumps all over me. The Word of God says strive to get in. Agonize.